ಓಂ ಜನನೀಂ ಓಂ ಜನನೀಂ ಶಾರದಾಂ ದೇವೀಂ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ ಪಾದಪದ್ಮೇ ತಯೋ ಶ್ರಿತ್ವಾ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಮುಹುರ್ಮುಹುಃ. ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಎಂಟರಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಎ ವೆರಿ ಎಸೆನ್ಷಿಯಲ್ ಮಾರ್ವಲಸ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ವಿಚ್ ಅನ್ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ಓವರ್ ದಿ ಏಜಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬೀನ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದಿ ಡೆಟ್ರಿಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಹೋಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ಹಾರ್ಮ್ ಈವನ್ ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಟೆಸ್ಟ್ ಸೋ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ರಿಲಿಜಿಯಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಬಟ್ ರಿಲಿಜಿಯಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ಅನ್ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ದೇ ಕಮಿಟ್ ಮರ್ಡರ್ಸ್. ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ಬ್ಲಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಫ್ಲೋನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೇಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್, ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೇಮ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಲಿಜನ್, ಈವನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೇಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ವೈ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್. ಬಟ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆನ್ ಎವರ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಗಾಸ್ಪೆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ, ವೀ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಹೌ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಓನ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಲೈಫ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಮೇನ್ ಪರ್ಪಸ್. ವೆದರ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್, ದಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ವೀ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಕೀಪ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋಬಡಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಎನಿಬಡಿ. ವೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬೈ ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್. ಎ ಫ್ಯೂ ಡೇಸ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಎಂ ವಿಸಿಟೆಡ್ ದಿ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಅಟ್ ದಕ್ಷಿಣೇಶ್ವರ್. ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ 4 and 5 o'clock ಇನ್ ದಿ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ನೂನ್. ದಿ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ವರ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಶಿವ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ಸ್, ಲುಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ಅಕ್ರಾಸ್ ದಿ ಕೋರ್ಟ್ ಯಾರ್ಡ್. ದಿ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ವೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಎನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಟಿಕ್ ಮೂಡ್. ದಿ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಕೇಮ್ ಅಪ್ ಬಿಗೋಟ್ರಿ ಕಂಡೆಮ್ಡ್. ಶ್ರೀರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕಾಲಿ, ದಿ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಮದರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್. ಹಿ ಸೆಡ್, ಮದರ್, ಎವ್ರಿವನ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಮೈ ವಾಚ್ ಎಲೋನ್ ಈಸ್ ರೈಟ್. ದಿ ಕ್ರಿಶ್ಚಿಯನ್ಸ್, ದಿ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮೋಸ್, ದಿ ಹಿಂದೂಸ್, ದಿ ಮುಸಲ್ಮಾನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಸೇ ಮೈ ರಿಲಿಜನ್ ಎಲೋನ್ ಈಸ್ ಟ್ರೂ. ಬಟ್ ಮದರ್, ದಿ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ನೋ ಬಡೀಸ್ ವಾಚ್ ಈಸ್ ರೈಟ್. ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟ್ರೂಲಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದಿ? ಬಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಎ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಪ್ರೇಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ವಿತ್ ಎ ಯರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್, ಹೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರೀಚ್ ದಿ through thy grace by any path. When we are praying to God, talking about God, God means eternal and infinite. Eternal means beyond time, infinite means beyond space. That which is beyond time and space can never be described, and whatever is describable falls within time and space. Now, Sri Ramakrishna's words have tremendous depths. The more we meditate, the more meaning we acquire. What is it really? First of all, Sri Ramakrishna was talking to Kali, the divine mother of the universe. What we need to understand, that there is no such division, that he is talking to Mother Kali sometimes, and he is talking to devotees or ordinary people or temple servants. I will give the instance. In this instance, he is talking to the Kali, the Divine Mother. And sometimes he addresses the devotees directly. Sometimes he has to address, for example, Brinde, the maid servant. He has to address. Or an immoral woman, Rati by name. He has to address. And we make the distinction. Now he is in a high mood, he is talking to mother. Now it is a less exalted mood, he is talking with the devotees. Now he is a very ordinary mood, he is talking to ordinary people, even worldly people, even worse, immoral people. No. The vision of a realized soul is everything is Brahman, and in no one Brahman or divinity is less. Then why does he speak to different people in different ways? Not because his vision of Brahman is obscured, but because the body-mind complex have a special requirement. For example, if worldly people happen to touch him, his body will be harmed. And we know that that is what had happened. So many people, sinful people, and mostly devotees, they got better and he got the sins. Just like if my hand is clean and if an unclean hand is shaken by me, then that other person's, that other hand will be a little bit less dirty, but my own hand acquires a little more dirt. That's why we have to be extremely careful. And in this also, we can see what is gross. Somebody is dirty, we can perhaps see something. But if somebody is impure in heart, very difficult. Somebody brings food, somebody gifts something. If the character of the person is impure, we do not see, so we do not understand how much harm we are doing to ourselves. What is the point? Ramakrishna, when he talks to anybody, he sees only Brahman. But for practical purposes, he may adopt different methodology to deal appropriately so that he behaves like a normal man and not anything else. But his vision is never disturbed by anybody else in this world. And that is why we have to remember the incident in the life of Shankaracharya. He has written a beautiful hymn, Manisha Panchakam, 5 verses. And it came out because he, being a South Indian, being a so-called high-born Brahmana, encountered a chandala in Kashi of all the places where he is supposed to see, we are supposed to see one Shiva. And then he said, "You get out of my way," as if he is superior. Then the chandala addressed him, "Whom are you addressing? Get out. Are you talking about the body? And my blood also is O positive. Your blood also may be positive. There is no difference between your blood, your flesh, and my blood and my flesh. If you are talking about the Atman, there is absolutely no difference. The same pure consciousness is in both of us. Then whom are you addressing? Get out. Because in between these two, there is nothing else." And supposedly, he learned his lesson, but his followers never learned their lesson. Even today, they observe this terrible Brahminism in every one of their Shankara mats, blissfully preaching Advaita, everything is Brahman. All right. Then, but appropriately, so just because everything is Brahman, and Sri Ramakrishna is an Andhra devotee, and the Andhra devotee, the Brahman of Andhra devotee, brings the Brahman of Andhra pickle, and gives to Sri Ramakrishna, and the Brahman of Sri Ramakrishna swallows it, and the Brahman, the body of Sri Ramakrishna would dissolve instantaneously into highest samadhi. Therefore, behavior is practical, but vision is of same. That is what we need to do. We don't become odd. We don't behave oddly, impractically. This is what is called practical Vedanta. What is Ramakrishna saying? Mother, everyone says, my watch alone is right. What does it mean? Each one of us think what I think is right and what others think most often is either not right or not right to the same extent. Then Ramakrishna is born, has taken incarnation, especially to remove this hatred, the wars, religious wars between different religions, including among the Hindus, the Shaktas, the Muslim, what is called the Vaishnavas, the Tantrics, the Advaita Vedantins, and other schools of philosophy. terrible distinction was there, terrible quarrels were there, even if they do not murder each other. The only difference, I am telling you, if you study the Indian history, you will see Muslim kings have oppressed Hindus very much. And we are all highly aware. The Muslim emperors have demolished Hindu temples, looted Hindu temples, and converted many of them into mosques, etc. So glaringly obvious, even if they don't accept, even nowadays, anything has been done by Muslims, they become bristled. But the history cannot be altered. But what about the horrible hatred between the Vaishnavas, between the Shaktas, between the Shaivites, and between the Dvaita schools and the Advaita school? How many people categorizing them under the name of Shudra class have we been oppressing them for them? It is for nothing that they have changed their religion because they wanted a little bit of respect. Everybody is potentially divine. We have conveniently forgotten and we have mistreated them for centuries together. How many types of such oppressions I am going to tell it now? But Sri Ramakrishna is only referring, but we have to understand bigotry takes innumerable forms. What are those forms? I will come to that. Sri Ramakrishna is telling, anybody thinks my religion alone is true, he is completely wrong. In fact, at the beginning of this Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we come across M questioning Sri Ramakrishna logically, if God is with form, how can he be without form? And if he is without form, how can he be with form? Sri Ramakrishna said, yes, he is with form, he is without form, and he is beyond both form and formlessness. We have to remind ourselves the way the mind functions. Mind can only function in the form of opposites. Darkness and light, heat and cold, happiness and suffering, and good and evil, life and death. If one side of the knowledge is missing, the other side can never even be understood what it is. So, everybody thinks that I alone am right. That is why women think we are right, all men are dumb. And men, of course, think, they smirk and say, all women brainless chaps. This eternal, what is called gender hatred or complex, is going on and on and on, even today, in every field of life, in one way or the other. But Sri Ramakrishna is born to remove, is to say, jato mat, tato pat. As many faiths, if some person believes, this is how God is, and this is how anybody can reach, but without disturbing, let him keep his own faith and pursue. And his own pursuit of truth will bring him to the truth, and then he will appreciate God is infinite, his manifestations are infinite, and every manifestation is a path to God. If somebody is worshipping a piece of wood, a tree, or water, what we call river goddess, or a mountain, Himalaya, Himalayo Nama Nagadi Rajaha, Asti Uttarasyam, Dishi Devatayaha. Kalidasa goes into ecstasy, praising the Himalayas. It is nothing but the glory, the manifestation of God Himself. So, only as we grow, our concept of God also grows, which is meant by Swami Vivekananda, as man grows, God also grows. But that could create confusion. As man's understanding grows, his understanding of God, his concept of God also expands. And that is called spiritual progress. So, everybody thinks, my religion alone is true. How many wars, even now, there are certain religions. So either what is called, it is expressed or not expressed. Some religion openly express, my religion alone is the pathway, especially Islam, Orthodox Islam. Sufis do not say so. But Christians, they used to convert. Even now they are what is called covertly converting people because they believe that every other path is wrong. This is the only path to God. There is no other path. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. So, more or less, many religions openly do not say it. But accepting Hinduism, most of the religions are what you call very fanatical religions. What is Ramakrishna telling? But mother, the fact is that nobody's watch is right. This is one of the Sri Ramakrishna's favorite expressions. The sun alone maintains the right time. Everybody's watch is wrong. Who can truly understand who can understand God? Mind cannot understand God. I will come to that point a little later. What is the way out? But if a man prays to thee with a yearning heart, he can reach thee through thy grace by any path. Any path. That Sri Ramakrishna used to give a beautiful illustration. Somebody wants to go to Jagannatha temple and then he goes towards the north from Calcutta. That is a wrong direction to go. But if he is honest, God himself will come in the form of another person, says, where are you going? I want to go to Puri. No, no, this is a wrong direction. You have to go to the south. And very soon, such a person will come. This is an inevitable law. That is, if a man is earnest, and he will get what he wants because God listens to his prayers. But God need not come in the form of God. He comes in the form of a child, in the form of an animal, in the form of wind, in the form of many things. But he will bring his child to the exact destination. This is the only way. Let me follow my path. Let me be earnest. Let me not bother about others. And if I can do that, by God's grace, I can attain. Not to speak of ordinary person. Even Totapuri Maharaj, the Advaitic teacher, was firmly convinced that this world is unreal. For a man of realization, everything is God. If anybody says, when I close my eyes, then I see God. But when I open my eyes, it is anatma, mithya. His realization is a very doubtful realization. That is why albeit without his liking, wanting, 11 months he had to stay there, but slowly but surely in the presence of satsanga. And the greatest satsanga is the company of God himself in the form of an incarnation. He understood, he came down, he bowed down to the Divine Mother. His whole understanding has changed. Everything is God, whether with open eyes, closed eyes. And his realization became complete. Now, I was mentioning earlier, bigotry we think is only religious bigotry. No, open your eyes and read any newspaper and you will see how many varieties of bigotry. Not only they are not dead, I feel sometimes they are becoming more and more strong. For example, nationality. So, one nation says, so many countries to belong to us. How much fluidity is there? So, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Ceylon, everything at one time is to call it loosely Federation of many states, which we now call India. What happened? Separation between Sri Lanka, between Bangladesh, between what we call now Pakistan, and maybe many other these things. Maybe at one time, they were all separate. Maybe later on, somebody combined them. Maybe now, they have been separated. but how much of internecine war are going on? For what? For a bit of this one. This is called nationality. So, gender, class, skin color, civilization, size, nationality, you name it, there is a bigotry there. I will just give you small examples. Why am I going into these examples? When we are studying the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, because spiritual progress is to understand our own personality. Am I suffering from all these type of bigotries? What are the bigotries? First of all, gender. What is the gender? There is a masculine gender and there is a feminine gender. And even now there are people, after reading the Gospel, especially the women, why does Sri Ramakrishna refer again and again, woman and gold, woman and gold? In fact, this is a very, smoothed out translation. But euphologistic translation. But the real translation is Kamini Kanchana. Kamini means a temptress. A woman, not only a woman, but she is a temptress. But for the sake of not having so many conflicts, it was toned down and then made into woman and gold. How many women I have come across who objected to it? But what was Sri Ramakrishna's intention? Is he seeing woman or is he seeing Brahman or Divine Mother? And why was he talking about it? What he meant is, clearly I have explained earlier also, that woman is not the enemy of man. Man is not the enemy of woman. Man is the greatest enemy of man. Woman is the greatest enemy of woman. Perhaps some of you have understood, hopefully many of you. But what it means is, if a woman thinks, I am a woman, then her temptation will be how to attract the opposite sex, a man. Of course, many people condemn me even now, why only opposite, same sex also. Yes, I agree, this is only for illustration purpose. So if a man thinks, I am a man, I am masculine, then his attraction will be towards the opposite sex, which is a woman. This is what Swami Vivekananda, more than 100 years back, tried to explain to all of us, that man is the greatest enemy of man. That is, to feel I am the body, to feel I belong to this gender. Now, coming to the generalities, do you think that any man, even today, accepts any woman equal to him? Only a baby says, my mother is greater than me. But as soon as the same fellow gets up, women are okay, but nothing compared to men. And this gender discrimination is going on all over the world, in jobs, in payments, in social treatment, anything. I don't need to go into so many descriptions, but you know that. And the saddest part of it is, women themselves want men to make that a discrimination. This is a peculiarly perverted view that is happening. But that is what happens when we think we are the body. Let us come to the class. Doctor's class, upper class, lower class, wealthy class. We know there are clubs. Only millionaires can join. I'm not sure that there is a billionaires club. I think there is. I read it somewhere. Only a billionaire can join that club. So, if somebody's income is very small income, there is no chance of his coming at all there. Then, you know class also. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, then workers union, then officers union, and prisoners union, and prison officers union. This is called class. What about skin color? Every white skinned person, most of them, exceptions are always there, are convinced a white skin color is superior in every way. And so many psychologists have conclusively proved they are completely wrong. A black man, a brown man, any man can be superior, but what these people say, you know, that, okay, exceptional cases we admit, but in general, the percentage of a white man is much, much more intelligent, meaning clever, than other colors of skins. So, Jung had classified these colors of the skin into four categories. The white, the black, the yellow, meaning the Mongolian genders, and then the brown, which is Asians. And he even compared the sizes of the shape of the noses, so that even the nose indicates some kind of personality trait. And the what is called hook-nosed, eagle-nosed, beak-nosed, like Vindhyachalavasini's bird-nosed, and thin lips, they indicate tremendous selfishness, cruelty, and non-consideration for other people. I will not go into the details, but this is the color discrimination. Even now it is going on in America, how the black people are beaten, black and blue, I don't know how they do it. So, even today, they are proudly declaring we are the greatest democracy, but it is going on. What about India? Yes, it is going on. So, this is the color discrimination. What about civilization? Western civilization is superior to Egyptian civilization, Chinese civilization, Roman civilization, and of course, Indian civilization. We are more civilized because we speak what is called fluent English, naturally their mother tongues, and this what is called the very way they speak, different accents, Irish accent or Middle England's accent or Bangladesh's accent of Bengali speaking, it makes all for fun, etc., for other people. What about the size discrimination? Have you heard about size discrimination? Supposing you are 5 feet, 6 inches or 8 inches, and you come across another person who is only 5 feet. You know what will be your tendency? If you are walking side by side, you take out your hand and put it on the other person's shoulder, indicating that you are somehow superior because of your height. This is what I am calling size discrimination. And there are women, peculiarly in the 19th century, the fatter a woman, the more beautiful she considers herself. But just the opposite now, that if you say, oof, if the woman can fly, then that is considered a definite sign of beauty. So, don't eat star, only eat vegetable juice, and for the attraction of anything, these are all wrong notions implanted, mostly by men. This is called fashion. So, size discrimination. And see, look, supposing you see a fellow who is very fat, hardly able to move, you don't say because of certain civilizations have trained you, but inside, my God, what a fatty fellow, is like an animal. Inside your mind, you will declare, that means you are looking down upon that type of personality. Now, you can extend this, dresses, possession of cars, possession of money, everything else. Anything that makes me feel a little bit superior, that makes me look down upon other people in the same way, even how we speak. If I can speak English language better than you, I look down upon you. My God, how much this Mahamaya is working now. Only I want to end this topic. One, Hindus have mistreated billions of people, millions of people, Hindus, looked down, never gave them a chance, even sealed their ears with mercury and with lead and so many other things, just because they should not hear even the utterance of the Vedas, etc. And even Swami Vivekananda was not permitted to enter into some of the temples. Even today, some type of people cannot enter into the temples at all. So much of discrimination, all in the name of religion, nationality, size, civilization. What is the subject? Sri Ramakrishna was talking mainly about religious bigotry. But I am talking because we all cherish that bigotry, and every minute of our life, we are, what is called, emphasizing it, mostly unconsciously, and that is how that itself becomes a terrible bondage. We have to examine ourselves. And this is what Holy Mother wants to tell, my children, you are all my children. Everybody is equal to me. There is no high or low, small or big, great or small. As children, you are all my own children. Remember that you are all children of the Divine Mother. If we do not cherish, if we do not behave according to that knowledge, that we are all children of the Divine Mother, if my behavior doesn't accord with my so-called japa, dhyana, meditation, spiritual practices, then whatever I may be doing, it will turn into ashes. It is not going to be possible. Now, some illustrations. How much Sri Ramakrishna suffered from other priests? Why? Because the other priests, they had a standard. They used to worship the Divine Mother in a particular way. But Sri Ramakrishna, he had entered into what Swami Sharadananda beautifully categorizes as Raganuga Bhakti stage, what Swami Vivekananda called Parabhakti. And as soon as he entered into that state, there is no, what is called, order in worship. You can offer food. Not only that, one day he was offering the food meant to be offered to the Divine Mother to a cat. Supposing another day, it did not happen, but supposing a dog enters, he will give. Suppose a prostitute enters, first he will give to the prostitute and then he will give to the Divine Mother. Why? Because in his vision, there is no dog, there is no cat, there is no prostitute, there is no Divine Mother. One unbroken, akhanda chaitanya. Pure consciousness alone is there. And that is the goal we all want to attain. And only when, as we progress towards that, when we identify ourselves with that consciousness, only then there is a chance for these differences to vanish. But until that time, consciously, we should be able to see, look upon them as manifestations of God. This is what Swami Vivekananda meant, Shiva Gnane Jiva Shiva. And this is what Sri Ramakrishna meant, Samadarshana. Bhagavad Gita also tells it, Samadarshana. And it is very difficult, even for those who attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Here is the incident. Swami Vivekananda was pestering Sri Ramakrishna for Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And then it took him nearly 4.5 years, took for Sri Ramakrishna to bestow this Nirvikalpa Samadhi on Swami Vivekananda. Remember, on his third visit, most likely I do not remember, Sri Ramakrishna wanted to touch Narendra and give him what he himself has experienced. As soon as he touched Swami Vivekananda, future Vivekananda, Narendranath cried out, "What are you doing to me? My parents are in Calcutta." And then Sri Ramakrishna had to retouch him and bring him down. Why did he do that? Because he understood that it is not the wish of the will of the Divine Mother. Why? Because Swami Vivekananda, Narendra had to become Swami Vivekananda. Swami Vivekananda had to become a world teacher. A world teacher must be looking upon sympathetically with every type of opinion and attitude, people believing in form, without form, even Nastika, those who do not believe in God, only one condition is absolutely needed condition, that is Shraddha. Somebody is honest and with completely sincere, if that quality is present, and whatever his mind says, I don't believe that, I don't believe this, it doesn't really matter. But for all of them, he has to guide them, not theoretically, but authentically. Therefore, Narendranath had to go from theism to atheism, to skepticism, to agnosticism, and a person believing without form of God, first with form, and second without form, lastly with both form and formlessness, everything he had under the trained guidance of Sri Ramakrishna, he had experienced to some extent. And then only, after 4.5 years, just a few days before Sri Ramakrishna passed away, he was given. By the way, this happened on the night of Shivaratri. And the Shivaratri is going to come in a 2 weeks' time. And 3 days later on, there will be Sri Ramakrishna's birthday this year, February. It is going to happen. So, that is why Narendranath could not take. But then, what is the point I am emphasizing? That this Nirvikalpa Samadhi was given by the grace of Sri Ramakrishna, and Swamiji enjoyed it. I will not go into the details. After that, Sri Ramakrishna passed away. Swami Vivekananda was wandering, and one day he was passing through a village and he saw a low caste man smoking hubble bubble, and Swami Vivekananda felt like smoking. So he went and asked. He was told, "Swami, I am a low caste person. It will be sinful for me. I will incur sin if I give it to a upper caste man." And hearing it, Swami Vivekananda turned away. After walking a mile, a kilometer or so, suddenly remembered, "I am supposed to see Brahman everywhere. Why did I make this kind of discrimination? Where did all my Nirvikalpa Samadhik knowledge disappear?" Immediately he came running back, forcibly snatched, smoked a little, and then he assured him, "Not only you are not going to attain any papa, you are, as a result of this, you are going to be enlightened very soon." This is not there in the book, but I am telling, a person blessed by the one of the rishis, he cannot but obtain mukti very soon. And the culmination point came when Swamiji was in the Khetri Maharaja's palace. A dance of a notch girl was arranged, and Swami Vivekananda, when requested, he refused, saying, "I am a monk, I cannot see women dancing." But then this girl awakened that Brahmagnana in him and said, "What kind of Brahmagnani you are? Samadha Rishi Hai Namatiharo Prabhu Mere Avaguna Chittanadharo." And Swamiji recognized the message. "I attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi. That means I realized I am Brahman. I realized everything is Brahman. Where does this equation, this is a woman, come in? I am a monk and here is a woman." That is for a non-realized person. Immediately he came down and listened to the song, blessed that person and went away. What happened? What happened is, "I am not a monk, you are not a woman, we are all Brahman." That is called Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastane Shunichaivashvapakecha Panditaha Samadarshinaha. That Samadarshitva. Ramakrishna had acquired this Samadarshitva. He used to go and clean at midnight the lavatories of the lavatory cleaner. And with his long hair, he used to wipe the whole place clean and say, "Oh mother, let not the thought ever enter into my brain that I am superior in any way to these people, because you are manifesting as these people, you are manifesting as the prostitute, you are manifesting as the chaste woman. There is no higher law, it is nothing but pure Brahman with Namarupa." And with that point, Totapuri never understood until he lived in the company of Sri Ramakrishna for 11 months. So ultimately, we have to see Ishvara, Shiva, Shiva Gnane, Jiva Shiva. That was what Swami Vivekananda wanted to introduce. You do your duties, but as a karma yoga. Through that, you can attain. Any yoga can bring you to the feet. But every yoga brings spiritual progress. Every spiritual progress means less amount of bigotry, less amount of differentiation, and more and more and more unity. And when we attain God, He doesn't see anything excepting Brahman. This is involved in whatever Sri Ramakrishna was telling. But Sri Ramakrishna had to suffer from the discrimination of the priest. This priest is going to ruin everything. He suffered almost until the end. What about Holy Mother? She was the purest of the women, and rumors have reached her husband had gone mad, and everybody, like a hen, went on pecking the Holy Mother. A time had come, Holy Mother did not dare to step outside her house because of these all people. As if all those people have attained to a great high state because those idiotic women had wanted to suppress their own defects. One, the best way of suppressing one's own defects is to find out other people's defects. This is what Erich Fromm had remarked very beautifully. The only purpose of criticizing other people is to suppress our feeling that I am an inferior person. But that is not going to help. That's why the teachings stop finding fault and now start finding fault within yourself. These are the bigotries. What about Swami Vivekananda? Because of his color, he could not get admission in the American hotels anywhere. Not only that, even in India, how much of discrimination he had attained. He was not admitted to some temples, especially in Kerala. He was not even allowed. So many Brahmins, they thought they were much superior. That is why Swami Vivekananda, upon his triumphant return from America at Madras, he has to declare very significant addressing. I will send you a Brahmana who is 100 times more orthodox than you, all of you put together, and who is 1,000,000 times greatly devoted to God than all of you put together. And then he knew who he was targeting. That was Shashi Maharaj, Swami Ramakrishnanandaji. Now, the point is, do you think that this kind of bigotry, discrimination is stopping now? To me, I think it is increasing it, especially in the name of nationalism and everything. But enough about the discussion. Now I will continue. Here, Sri Ramakrishna continues. Mother, show me sometime how the Christians pray to you in their churches. But you know, in those days, just listen what is happening. But mother, what will people say if I go in? Suppose they make a fuss. Suppose they don't allow me to enter the Kali temple again. Well then, show me the Christian worship from the door of the church. Even the avatara has to modify his prayer to the Divine Mother, because had he gone into a church, then he would have been forbidden by the other priests. Of course, so long as Madhur Babu was there, that could not have happened at all. So, even Sri Ramakrishna had to modify his prayer. Show me from outside, so they cannot charge me. But, you know, when Sri Ramakrishna wanted to practice Islam, he wanted to dress like them. There was no problem. But he wanted to eat like them. And Madhur Babu understood the problem. The other priests will desert. You know, the whole history of Dakshineswar temple was riddled with this priesthood, Brahminism. So, Madhur Babu said, Baba, a Muslim will come, stand outside. I will engage a Brahmin cook, but he will cook according to the instructions shouted from outside, and the Brahmin cook will prepare, and some kind of adjustment had to be done, modification has to be done, and then only Sri Ramakrishna was satisfied. So, not only that, when Sri Ramakrishna was practicing Islam, just to show what is even a good Muslim's mental condition, all the pictures of the God, Hindu gods, goddesses, and everything has to be totally removed, and Sri Ramakrishna did not salute until his Islamic sadhana came to an end. The only purpose of Sri Ramakrishna's Islamic sadhana was to prove to the world that God can be realized through any path. It is not to become Muslim or Christian or whatever it is. Same thing is telling. Suppose they don't allow me to enter the Kali temple again. This is called outcasting. Well then, show me the Christian worship from the door of the church. Now so much meaning is there, then we read. And then Sri Ramakrishna is going to tell that it is impossible to talk anything about God. God is beyond any type of expression, description. That is what he says, the mind's inability to comprehend God. Another day, the master was sitting on the small couch of his room with his usual beaming countenance. M arrived with Kali Krishna, who did not know where his friend M was taking him. He had only been told by M, if you want to see a grog shop, then come with me. You will see a huge jar of wine there. The description is not given, but perhaps this person was addicted to drinking wine, and that is why he said, really? So there must be a new type of wine which is far superior in quality. This happened to another devotee called Kali Krishna also. I think Kali Krishna. If you want to see a grog shop, wine shop, then come with me. And so this Kali Krishna had come. M arrived with him and he was not told. M related this to Sri Ramakrishna. I did not tell my friend where I am going to bring him. The master said, then what is this grog? What is this wine? Ramakrishna is telling. The bliss of worship and communion with God is the true wine, the wine of ecstatic love. The goal of human life is to love God. Bhakti is the one essential thing. To know God through jnana and reasoning is extremely difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult. This is what, as Sri Krishna earlier also preached in the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the 12th chapter of the Gita, Klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavadbhi avapyate. For those who are body-minded, body-identified, the path of jnana that I am Brahman is not only difficult, but it is also very detrimental. But the path of bhakti, from the very beginning, it will give you joy. And this is what Sri Ramakrishna wanted. For most people, this bhakti marga is the most important marga. But then another point also is there. Most of the people who want to tread the path of knowledge, I make fun of them, saying they have deliberately adopted them, like the fox which came across unreachable grapes and said, grapes are sour, why are you not eating? Because he said, who cares for grapes? Grapes are sour. But then that fellow secretly attempted, it could not reach the grapes, and what is unreachable, he labels as, justifies himself, it is not worthy of attempting, and then he goes back. And most of those who tread the path of jnana, they can't digest, as I say, even boiled water, much less. That's why even barley water also, barley drink also, they cannot digest. And then jagat mithya, they cannot see other people enjoying the nice food, hard food, and that is what these most of the people. Of course, there are genuine people are there. There is no doubt about it, but they are far and few between. Certainly, we are not belonging to that category. Now, what is Ramakrishna saying? This is especially referring to the Pancha Makara Sadhana. In the Tantras, there are five words used. And anybody can hear about these five words. Five letters, they all start with Ma. But the esoteric meaning, the secret meaning, very few people really understand. And that is explained by the Tantric teacher to the disciple after the initiation is given. And what are these things? This మత్స్య మాంస మద్య అండ్ ముద్ర అండ్ మైథున. సో వాట్ ఈస్ ది ఫస్ట్ థింగ్? మత్స్య మీన్స్ ఫిష్, మాంస ఫ్లెష్. దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ముద్ర? ముద్ర మీన్స్ ఏ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ పోస్చర్. నో సారీ, వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ వైన్? మద్య, డ్రింకింగ్ వైన్. ఆర్ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆర్డినరీ పీపుల్ లైక్ అస్, వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దీస్ త్రీ, బట్ వీ థింక్ దిస్ తాంత్రిక్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఈస్ రిడిల్డ్ విత్ ఆల్ దీస్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ సీక్రెట్లీ వీ విష్ టు బి దేర్, వీ విష్ టు ఎంజాయ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్, బట్ సిన్స్ ఐదర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది క్యాస్ట్ ఆర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ రీజన్ వీఆర్ నాట్ అలౌడ్ టు ఎంజాయ్ దెమ్, వీ అడాప్ట్ దిస్ సవర్ గ్రేప్స్ యాటిట్యూడ్ ఫిలాసఫీ అండ్ దెన్ వీ కండెమ్ దెమ్. But there is an esoteric meaning is there. So what is the lost to mudra and maithuna? Briefly, I wish to explain in today's class, then proceed. The real topic is God can never be described, can never be expressed. There are marvelous things to understand about that, but that I will do in the next class. Now coming back, these are called panchamakaras. In tantric, many of us have heard about tantric puja, but very few of us have really dealt with that. In essence, what it means is what Advaita Vedanta calls Brahman, what Dvaita schools call Narayana, tantric schools like to call that final cause from which the entire universe has come as a Shakti, as the Divine Mother. And we are all children of the Divine Mother, because creation must come from a female gender, creatrix. So the whole thing is adopted, God imagined in the form of the Divine Mother. How to please the Divine Mother? Bhakti means how to make her happy with us. And for that purpose, three stages are evolved. So the tantric teachers divide people, sadhakas, into three classes. First class is called tamoguna sampannaha, those who are behaving like an animals. It is called pashu bhava, attitude of an animal. For such people, worship and self-restraint, and they cannot even look at some tempting objects, etc. That is the teacher keeps a strict eye, and that is how the person is supposed to even not to cherish, not to speak of being near to any tempting object. Then, when through long time practice, sincerely practice, he advances, now is the time to confront temptations. Because in the first stage, everything is suppressed, oppressed, and which is not good. And our teachers are superb psychologists. And they understand it. Suppression is good at the beginning, but not good afterwards. So you have to express. Then bring all sorts of things to tempt the person. Eatables, what is called, Sri Ramakrishna calls, Kama, Kamini, Kanchana, etc. That is to say, every sort of imaginable tempting objects. And then the worshipper is asked, can you control yourself, means control your mind. What is the problem? When we come across such tempting objects, physically we control ourselves, but mentally we do not, because nobody can see what we are thinking. But nevertheless, they impress us. That is one reason we don't move forward. Now, a sadhaka who reaches this stage, he is labeled as Veera. Veera means hero. Hero means he can face the battlefield, any number of enemies. So, for men, women are brought. For women, men are brought. Tantra makes no difference between man and woman. Anybody can be a sadhaka. And all the objects of eating, not drinking, madhya, etc. And peculiar sadhana goes on. But the teacher keeps a very vigilant eye. And then he goes on doing, if this fellow is about to fall, then he will be pushed back into Pashubhava and you again practice those things. So that is how when a person is confronted, but it doesn't move his thoughts, his mind is perfectly under control, and even Sri Ramakrishna had to go through some of these virulent tests, and he came out in flying colors, as we say, very successfully, and I might narrate some of them in future classes. Then, when the Veera, he successfully overcomes any temptations and then sublimates them, he converts them into divine motherhood. He sees divine mother everywhere, and then he enters into what is called the Sattvika mode of worship, called Daivi Bhava, divine mode. And for them, very simple things. And once the mind is firmly established, he is done Abhisheka and he is declared as a tantric successful realized person, and he can also become a tantric teacher. So, in this second stage, Veera, this panchamakaras are used. What is it? That is, first is Matsya. That is, just as a fish joyfully swims when it is released from a narrow vessel into a larger pool of water. So, a sadhaka, when his mind becomes free from the trammels of these bondages, he will attain to that joy of the fish swimming in God, is the symbolism of Matsya. Mamsa means when the sadhaka is able to identify there is not difference between me and my chosen deity, that is, the flesh becomes one with the flesh, that is called enjoying the mamsa. Then madhya means what? When a person drinks wine, he forgets all worries and he swims, he will be at the top of the world. This is what Sri Ramakrishna sings, that Ami surapan kori ne sudha khai joy kali bole. When a person is advanced, even the very remembrance, name of the God in any form brings on intoxication. We see in Sri Ramakrishna's life so much of this. This is called the getting the joy of a drunkard. This is the meaning of, esoteric meaning of Madhyapana. Mudra, when whatever feeling we have, that expresses in the form of certain bodily gestures automatically. When you are angry, your heart beats faster, your fist curls itself so that you can beat the other person. But by consciously imitating these mudras, I will talk about these things a little more in the next class, then the same feeling can be induced in the mind. If you go on talking, for example, angrily, pretending only, not really angry, but you pretend that you are angry, and after a few minutes you will see you really become angry. That is you are imitating a gesture and inducing the corresponding feeling. This is called mudra. And the whole Bharatanatyam is dependent upon it. And then the last is, of course, Maithuna. Maithuna is the complete union of the sadhaka with the Ishtadevata, Radha with Krishna. This complete union, which ends in Aham Brahmasmi, that is the symbolism of Maithuna. Like man and woman forget the whole universe when they love each other and when they join in this loving union. These are beautiful thoughts, and so much of inner significance is there. We'll talk about it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Mohur Mohu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.